The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell with a nice, wonderful, in-your-face program. No, did I say in-your-face? No, I wouldn't say that. No, what we're going to talk about actually is what happens with your immune system and what can you do to bolster it? What can you do to make a difference? You know, we're in a very special time right now, right? So the court struck down masking and we can go out and about our ways. And, you know, I came back in from a long trip on last Monday and it was the last day that you had a mask. I missed it by a day. But when you look at the environment relative to your what's out there and you really do your homework, the question becomes, how do I protect myself and keep my immunological system as strong as I possibly can? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit today. We're going to talk about some of the COVID booster side effects. We're going to talk about the variants, and we're going to talk a little bit about what happens if you show up with a symptom that you don't understand, and sometimes your physicians don't completely understand. Is there something that can be done about it? Can you do something proactively to protect yourself? Well, the short answer is yes, absolutely. And, you know, we're living in a crazy world. We're living in one that we really don't understand completely. And my job is to make sure that not only our patients at the Rozell Center of Healing understand it, but anybody that I bump into, I teach, that attend my classes outside of, you know, the metro area, that they really have the information, but more importantly, that our doctors know what to do to how to treat people. So this program is really about taking the veil off, if you will, and giving you some data that is really straight up. And I'll give you the references that, you know, they come from. And when I start preparing for these programs, I started getting to a lot of different websites, and those of you who know me know that I dig, and I dig deeply. I spent some time on the British Medical Journals. I spent some time in the CDC sites. I've spent some time, you know, going through John Hopkins, and I put together with a lot of natural sites. And this is something that I need to share with you, and I need to make sure that you're aware of what is really out there, you know, critical preparedness, if you will. We have to make sure that we understand it and, you know, that we don't react. You go into a restaurant and you see some people still completely messed up and they go to their tables and then you know, they'll wait for their dinners to be delivered and then they take off their mask. And you have people that are just going everywhere without a mask, like me, and have been. And, you know, for full disclosure, people have asked me repetitively, you know, have you had a COVID vaccine? And the answer is no. Have you had any of the boosters? The answer again is no. And so we'll get into the conversation with people, you know, why and so forth and so on. The point of it is that when your immune system is strong, which mine has always been, and I do that on purpose, I make sure that I do the things that are necessary to keep my body resilient against virtually everything, whether it's this coronavirus. And you know, somebody asked me, well, have you been exposed to it? I said, good Lord, you know, I've been in practice for 45 years. And when this first started, I was treating people. I was part of a research team from Phoenix Biotechnological Laboratories out of Texas. And we were studying a couple products that had a tremendous impact on anything that was an enveloped type of viral pattern. Coronavirus is one, the common flu is another, the cold is another, AIDS is another. And the products that they were studying had a tremendous impact on these. And what it actually did is, and their literature shows it, that it stopped the replication, the duplication of any of these viral patterns, these envelope type viruses, by 18,000 times within about a 24-hour period. Now, by the way, listen, I want to take your questions today, and I'd love to have you call me. We are live. You can call me at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625, and we'll talk about specific situations. But I want to go through some data for you, and I want to talk to you about, you know, some of the side effects that people are experiencing, particularly people with long hauler patterns from COVID, but long hauler patterns also from the vaccines and so forth. People are getting sick. Don't think that they're not. You know, it's helpful to understand the effects of the vaccines. It's helpful to understand the side effects in long haulers of, you know, the actually getting the bug, because those are the things that keep start showing up. You know, all of a sudden now you're starting to hear about the flu again, right? You're starting to hear about other viral patterns again. Your television commercials are all about, you know, going out and getting vaccines for, you know, Gardasil for, you know, cervical and penile cancers. They're talking about the flu vaccine again. What happened to them the last 2 years? Well, I'm going to let you play with that a little bit and understand that they've always been there. There's been other situations that were necessitated in putting aside. So when you're talking about long haulers, the side effects of some of these things are the same as if you had the vaccine or if you had the condition itself, from chest pain and shortness of breath and, you know, your heart bumping around or fluttering or pounding and so forth. And it's not as uncommon as they want you to think it might be. The heart problems, and there's an interesting study that was published by the CDC, and there was a report that from March 2020 to January of 2021, so about 9 months, patients with COVID-19 had nearly 16 times the risk for myocarditis, an inflammatory reaction of the covering, you know, the heart muscle itself, compared to patients who did not get COVID-19 or were not exposed to COVID-19. Well, the parallels, those who had the vaccines had similar situations, blood clots, if you will, particularly the J&J vaccine. You know, due to the potential blood clots following the administration of the J&J vaccine, the CDC updated its recommendation last year in December 2021, so a few months ago, right? The CDC noted that two mRNA vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna were preferred over the J&J vaccine, which remains available for those who prefer, because they want, you know, one shot and get it over with. Well, the problem was is that, and they found that the differentiation between myocarditis from the J&J or the myocarditis from Pfizer, they were both there. One was a little greater than the other. So the possible side effects of these things were severe or persistent headaches and vision disturbances. You can't see well, shortness of breath and chest pain, leg swelling, and the legs start puffing up, because we know with them, you know, myocarditis patients, the ankles will swell, the lower legs will swell, and it's the swelling is, there's a term that's used, it's called pitting edema. That's when you put your finger in the tissue in the lower leg and it forms a crevice. It's stuck, it pits. So, and then there's easy bruising and rupture of vessels near the skin surfaces, not only near the injection site, but other places as well. So it comes down to, are these, you know, then we want to go out and protect it, right? We want to find out what's there to be done? You know, the CDC said anyone who has known severe allergies that would produce an anaphylaxis to any of the vaccine ingredients should not receive the vaccine. Well, how the heck do you know whether you have a reaction to any of these things if you've never had it before, if your doctor's never told you you have a problem, and you just go to one of these drive-by clinics and you get the shot? Doesn't seem like there is a lot of common sense to that. And I'm a common sense guy. I'm one of these guys that, you know, does it smell like a rat? Maybe it is. I don't know. The CDC says that, you know, that people that have allergies to certain foods, insects, latex, you know, common allergens, you know, they need to be quizzical about, you know, getting these situations. You know, those with a history of severe reactions to any kind of injectable, if you had in the past. But if you didn't take the time to figure it out, now what's happening to your body? What is the situation? As we get into the second part of the program, I'm going to kind of lead you through what can be done. I'm working with a group of physicians that are trying to come to agreement with what can be done with post-COVID, post-vaccine syndromes, and how can we treat people, because there's so many people that are out there that are really suffering from this. So we want to put it together. We want to let you know that there are options out there, and not you got to get away from the talking heads. You've got to get away from people who can't substantiate dramatically, adequately what it is that they're saying about whatever they're presenting to you. And I've spent 45 years of my life taking a different look at so many different conditions. I have tremendous respect for the body's capacity to resolve issues and to heal itself. But how does it do that? And what do we have to know about it? How do we avoid these pericarditis and myocarditis, these blood clots, the problems with anxiety that are coming about because of so many of these conditions? You get patient with a long hauler pattern, and they're coming up with all kinds of things, from they can't breathe, they have shortness of breath, they're getting tired, their stomach and their chest hurts, their joints ache, their heart just goes crazy, it's beating out of their chest. You know, and the symptoms, you know, seem to get worse after mental activity or stress, emotional stress patterns and physical stress. Pins and needles feeling kind of all over the body, diarrhea. It just, you know, it's a very common side effect. You know, your smell, we've talked about that. Your taste, we've talked about that. They go away. We get these fever rages up and down, and that's after you've had the problem. That's not while you're having it. You know, a rashing throughout your whole body, you know, headaches and brain fog. You can't think, you know, and forget about sleeping. You just don't sleep, right? So, one of the interesting things, this brain fog, you know, is the most common confusion symptoms for long haulers. They just, you know, somebody who's sharp and normally has it together, all of a sudden they can't think their way through anything. They don't know, you know, it's like you went into the refrigerator and to get something and you forgot your keys inside or something of that nature. And we said, oh my God, I'm losing my mind. Well, patients report being unusually forgetful, you know, if they've had the vaccine or if they've had the condition. And if you get a booster, you get the vaccine, then you get a booster, these symptoms seem to come about even more so for some people. The confusion that goes along with it, even the inability to sit there and watch a movie, a brain dead movie on television, where it used to kind of put you in a brain alpha state, you know, that place where you're watching and you're not aware of anything else around you. Well, that seems to be, you know, you're not even able to do that. You're scattered. It's like the kid with, you know, very severe ADD, you know, sped children. And, you know, your mind's all over the place. Everybody's confused me of being so ADD over the years, but I've used it to my advantage because I get to put in a ton of data. Well, that's a different story. We'll talk about that some other time. But, you know, when you go through and you check the data, you go to the UC Davis health site on California, and they're talking about people who've lost smell. They tie it into just one focus. Why do people who have long haul COVID continue to experience these lasting symptoms? That's the question that needs to be answered by so many different people. We're coming up to a break, and I have so much more for you. Please don't go away. I've got a fix for you too that we're going to talk about the second half of the program. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. I'll be right back after some very important messages. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizzo here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. We have a very special program for you today, one that was kind of triggered by several patients over the last month or so. And we're talking about your immunological responses due to COVID and long hauler COVID and so forth, and things that you need to know about, and your risk levels, and does this stuff go away, and so forth and so on. And actually, we could talk about this forever. I mentioned in the first segment that I'm working with a group of physicians to try to come up with an approach to handle long haulers, to support them. And we've been able to help quite a few people. But it's, you know, this thing has this, the virus itself, if you were exposed to it, and any virus, by the way. And here's something I want to talk to you about. I mentioned in the first segment, there's this thing called an enveloped type of viral pattern. And when I said, you know, the common flu is like that, the cold, coronavirus, AIDS, all these different types of things have an impact. And when I'm talking about enveloped, it's a protective layer, very much like the biofilm, if you will, around Lyme. And so it allows this thing to get in, any viral pattern, to go in and start replicating itself. And the nature of this COVID viral pattern is significant in that it can cause a lot of issues if your immune system isn't strong enough. But in, then what happens is we go through it, and some people, you know, were at higher risk than others, and then some people succumbed, but others also succumbed from the vaccine. And that's one of the things that they didn't tell you about, that, you know, the vaccine itself and then the boosters on top of that further deplete and decrease immunological function. I'll refer you to a couple of articles in PubMed and Grateful Med and the British Medical Journal. These are journals that I read ongoing, and I draw a lot of the information that I talk to you about from. By the way, we're here at 888-630-9625. Give me a call. Love to talk to you and answer any specific questions that you might have. But this is important, and we've found a way to treat a lot of this, and we're going to discuss that a little bit more in the second part of the program, and very effectively, and then decrease the inflammatory responses, and being able to get the heart to seem to settle down clinically. We've been able to observe this, and that's why we're working with these folks to put it together. Next part of the program, I want to go through different markers that will measure immunological response and what they mean and what you should be asking your doctors to do for you. It's really important that they look at things specifically, because unless you know what systems are not working, you can't treat this. And so much can be done by treating the body's immunological basis, not just trying to put out the fire on something. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about these antibodies and gamma globulins that are very measurable in the body. We'll talk a little bit at your vitamin D level, which at this point, everybody in the world should be having their vitamin D level measured constantly. We're going to touch upon that a little bit, and, you know, obviously zinc levels and the like. And there's ways of doing that very quickly. But when you're talking about these post-COVID syndrome patients, when you're talking about people who have had symptoms because of the vaccines and so forth, understand that if you act quickly, there's a lot that can be done to help you, to make a difference. And if you wait too long, if you just let it say, oh, well, you know, but how do you know? Right? And that's the whole thing. How do you know? You're just going to listen to the guy on the evening news tell you this is what it is? And, oh my gosh, what's my leg swelling about? Oh my gosh, what's this chest pain that I have? And, you know, I can't breathe walking up steps the way that I should be able to walk up. So there's a lot of reasons those happen, right? And what's really affecting them? Is it just that you're out of shape and you've put on the COVID-19 or 38, you know, and now you're hauling more of you around? Maybe that could be it. You know, are you in a place of fear? So your anxiety level is going through the ceiling. And so that's going to cause suppression of certain situations. You know, anxiety, we know that will cause so much of this. You know, abdominal pain. Is it because you've been eating crap because you've been sitting around for 2 years doing nothing and you've forgotten what good food is all about? You know, are you bruising? And, you know, not just at where they shove the needle inside of your body, but are you generally bruising and you're breaking blood vessels and the like? Well, all these are valid questions, and you have to know the answers so you can treat the situation. Way too many people right now are going the distance with these symptoms, and they can't seem to shake them. And there's things that need to be done to resolve them, and they get into a spin, and they can't seem to help themselves because they're not reaching on the right way. But we're going to talk about things in the second half of the program. We're going to tell you a little bit about NAC. We're going to talk a little bit how, you know, what levels of vitamin D should be maintained. We're going to talk about zinc levels. We're going to talk about, you know, the O2 drips, or O3 drips, the oxygenated effect that it can have on your body. And there's so much out there that can be done. The problem is that there's an agenda. There's an agenda that is foremost. You know, when you look around the world and you look at countries like China, and you look at what's happening in Shanghai, and is it really that Shanghai has a problem? Or is it that Shanghai is one of the foundational strengths of economic input, well, into the eastern area of the world? I don't know. I have my own opinion. We have Dr. Zhang, you know, was one of our physicians, and his family is from Shanghai. And both parents or both family members, his brother and his father are physicians. And, you know, they're being locked down like everybody else, and they're not sick people, but they're being locked into their buildings from the outside. Why is that? I'm the guy that thinks, you know, what's behind the story? You know, what's different about this, and what doesn't smell like the truth? You know, and usually if it doesn't smell right, if it doesn't sound right, it probably isn't right. We're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back. When we get back, we're going to talk about different laboratory tests to figure out what your immune system is. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Got an interesting program today, one that is kind of foremost in a lot of people's brains out there, particularly since the masks are gone and social distancing are gone. And, you know, everybody's got their own opinion. And unfortunately, some of that opinion has come from talking heads, which I'm not sure where they got their science degrees, but, you know, they're reiterating stuff that they've been told to tell you. So what we're going to try to do is put a little light on the system, if you will, try to make things a little easier for you to understand. You know, we talked about COVID and COVID long haulers. But, you know, all the information that I'm talking about can be really put forth with any kind of susceptibility to anything. You really didn't need to know. There's people out there that are saying, well, you know, a lot of this is like the genetic lottery, right? You got bad genes or good genes. Well, sometimes, you know, bad genes are something that happens because of environmental impact and the way we let ourselves go down the tubes. You know, we have a society, unfortunately, that is sicker today than at any other time going back probably hundreds of years. Why is that? I mean, people died back in the day because of infections, and they died of being killed in wars and things of that nature. But those who weren't susceptible actually lived a long time as compared. We're actually seeing the longevity rate on average drop a little bit for the first time ever. Why is that? So, you know, we're looking at, you know, things like inflammation and brain fog and heart problems and fatigue and digestive problems and anxiety and depression. And some people will tell you that's just, you know, bad lottery. Well, I'm not so sure about that. You know, is it that, or is it our epigenetic impact on our immunological system? So this was a perfect storm, and that's why we have the long haulers and so forth. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, your immune system and what that really means. And, you know, are there ways of identifying it? The short answer is yes, there's a lot of ways of identifying it. And you need to know what to ask your doctors for and how to measure it and some basic things that most physicians, and I don't know why, that they don't do, that they don't just carte blanche, check it out. Maybe they don't understand it. I don't know. This group of docs that I'm working with to come up with an approach with variabilities, obviously, to treat patients who have post-COVID syndrome and who have vaccine syndromes and so forth. And did you notice that people who have had the vaccines, they still get COVID? They still get the variants? That it didn't stop it? And they're still coming up with heart problems. They're still coming up with all kinds of immunological reaction. See, as a curious person, and I'm very curious, that says, if that's the case, what did we go through all this nonsense for? Why now are we looking at genetic and immunological problems that might be associated with the vaccines and other things that came back? Why is that? Why is it that we're seeing and we're having reports of women miscarrying at a higher rate? Why is it that we're seeing more non-combatant deaths in the military when the military were basically forced across the board to have the vaccine? Why is that? I'm a curious person. I'd like to know the answers to a lot of these things, and I want to share them with you, at least to get you to think about them. You know, the best thing you could do is don't believe anything I say, and then go out and do your own homework, but do it properly. You know, go to the British Medical Journal, go to PubMed, go to Grateful Med, and go in there and start looking at the different opinions based on guys who have really been in the trenches with this for a long period of time and are starting to be aware that maybe not everything is up on board, doesn't meet the front, that there are people out there that have data that somebody doesn't want you to really look into, so to speak, if you will. So if you're worried about your health and your immune system, this is what we're talking about today. And I'm going to give you some useful tests right now. So take your pencil and paper out and you know, write them up, that you can go to your doctor and say, hey, doc, I'd like you to run these tests. And one is very simple. It's a white blood cell test, leukocyte test, right? So when we're talking about immunity and immune health, so there's no better place than right there to start. White blood cell testing. And we're going to do that with red blood cell tests. And the test is actually called a CBC, a complete blood count. And so you're going to give your red blood cells and you're going to give your white blood cells, and they're important to know both of them. But the white blood cell that protects us against infections and diseases by fighting bacteria and viruses and other guys that are coming in, other foreign invaders. And, you know, it's a primary way to begin to check your health and your immune system. So the first thing is to have doc get you a complete blood count with a white blood cell differential. And what do I mean by that? The differential is taking the white blood cell number, whatever those white blood cells are, and then breaking them down in their subcomponents, things that you're going to hear like eosinophils and leukocytes and neutrophils and basophils and monocytes. Those are types of white blood cells, okay? And they do different things. And we just don't look at laboratory levels. Here's the interesting thing about some of the white blood cells. When I was in school, you know, my grandchildren would tell you back when the dinosaurs ruled the world, the white blood cell level was from 5,000 per field of measurement up to about 8,500. You might stretch it to 9. Today, they're going, some labs have it down to 3,800 and have it up to 11,000. Why would they do that? Have, you know, did they make a mistake? No. What they're seeing is people who are more immunologically deficient and sicker people. So because there's so many of them, they're making the assumption that this is normal. As a doctor who's been in practice for 45 years, doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand that. And so when you have them do a white blood cell count, you have to make sure that they're going to measure these neutrophils and lymphocytes and monocytes and eosinophils and basophils. What's that like? If I said to you white blood cell, the equivalent would be money. Okay, we're just a broad scope of money. And with white blood cells, these are neutrophils, lymphocytes, as I said before. With money, it would be nickels, dimes, quarters, and dollar bills, right? In money, they have value. In a white blood cell count, those subcategories have functional capacity. So a neutrophil, for example, it measures the inflammatory level of a bacterial infection and some types of infections. But in a lymphocyte is a different one, that it's antibodies against that will go after cancer cells and viruses and so forth. If you see the lymphocyte level go up, it's a problem. The range is, and laboratory levels, usually 30 is the number, but it can be plus one, plus two, so 31 to 29. Neutrophil level is 60, plus one, plus minus one, so 61, 59, within the parameters. But you always take it in relationship to the patient's symptom process. So when you see these neutrophils, which we can say, by the way, they're first responders, right? They're the guys that really kick in first. And they kick in the signs of an infection. They kick in the signs of inflammatory reactions at a very specific level. And their job is they go in and they go after these microbacterium and so forth, and they try to eat them up, and they release enzymes to kill them. Lymphocyte, you know, they'll kill cancer cells. And, you know, they go after viral infections. And they help direct the immune response to very specific targets. Monocytes are guys that kill different bugs as well, but they generally rise up. You've heard the term mononucleosis. That's a viral infection. So often if you see monocytes going up, it begins to suggest that there may be a viral pattern of some sort, particularly if the lymphocyte count goes up. Your doc should know this stuff. And eosinophils show up anytime there's an allergy reaction or sometimes with a parasitic infection. And if you see basophils, they often go after inflammatory reactions as well. So now when you have that basic information, it's just clues, if you will go into different direction. You want to do something called high sensitivity or coronary C-reactive protein. And that tells you whether or not your immune system is engaged in fighting an infection sometimes, or that's going to affect the cardiovascular system. Chronic inflammation, which is very closely tied to that area. Your CRP is in response to trauma sometimes, and inflammation and infection and so forth. So you begin to put the pieces together. That tells you whether or not there's an issue. But that high sensitivity and as it relates to your heart and so forth is really the guy that you look at. When you see it on the laboratory, the normal range is going to be from 0 to 3. Most of your physicians say anything under 3, they're good with. I like to see you at 1 or less. And that's really where functional medicine, you know, shows up in a different way, because now your inflammation is down and your heart's not going to be damaged. Your blood vessels aren't going to be damaged. But if that CRP level starts going up, you got a problem. And then what you do is you measure it in relationship to something called ESR or erythrocyte sedimentation rate. Now, both of these, that ESR is a general measurement, but as it goes up, it tells you how sick you actually are. When it goes down, it tells you it's an indication for recovery. There's this test called globulins, gamma gap, sometimes it's also referred to. These are guys that they're proteins that measure different types of conditions in your body, and you want to see them within a certain level. If they go up too high, we got a problem. If they if they're not responding well enough, your body's immune system is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. So then we want to get specific. We can get, you know, everybody's heard at this point of IgMs and IgG and IgA and IgE. Well, get your docs to measure these things because it gives you the capacity. And then, you know, our old friend vitamin D and our old friend zinc. Both of those things are necessary to tell us whether or not we have a problem. You know, you may be at risk for zinc deficiency, which is one of the primary things we have to fight things off. You know, if you're a vegetarian, if you drink too much alcohol, ladies, if you're pregnant or you're nursing, any kind of chronic digestive problems, you know, if you're diabetic. By the way, did you know that zinc in two areas of the body are critical besides what we're talking about? One is the pancreas, because it helps you produce insulin. A lot of people who can't produce enough insulin don't have enough zinc. And guys, if you have a large prostate, guess what? 50% of the dry weight of the prostate is zinc. So we have a real need to make sure that those guys are where they need to be. So we need to make sure that, you know, we understand this and we get our docs, we encourage them. See, here's the deal. I want you to be a partner with your doctor. I want you to be our partner if you walk into our practice. And what does that mean? That means that I want you to really understand how your body works and what's going on. You know, we want to measure iron and ferritin levels, because that can be either supportive, it could be damaging. Iron deficiency interferes with immune function and can really skew, you know, your immune response away from, you know, we've heard about, you know, TH1 and TH2. These are immune cells that the thymus gland produces, and if they low down, your body's ability to fight if any viral infection and bacterial infection is infected. How many of your docs actually measure that? You got to know that. And there are specific tests that are easily ordered, so you can do. And the good news is that you can support it, you can bring it up, and you can make a difference. Magnesium, something simple like that. Magnesium should be measured all the time as part of your ongoing blood work. The laboratory ranges are like 2.2, 2.1, 2, and so forth. I like to see it a little higher. I like to see it about 2.3. And you can't just get it from your diet. You have to somehow take it from other sources, because our foods are so depleted. Emotional stress and stressful activities can dramatically, dramatically increase the loss of magnesium in your body. So if you're under a lot of stress, B complex, magnesium, and so forth. So what happens with low magnesium? Well, you're going to feel tired as hell. you're going to feel nauseous. You're not going to be able to sleep. You're going to have headaches. Your muscles are going to feel weak. And you're going to lose your appetite. Those are just the beginning stages of some of that stuff. So if any of those things are true, you need to have magnesium. And guess what? Unfortunately, there's a lot of different forms of magnesium, and you got to make sure that you take a lot of them. Like magnesium, there's a magnesium called magnesium threonate, and that works on brain function and neurological signaling. Magnesium glycinate works with muscle patterns and like, and we can go on. Magnesium malate in conjunction with something called B6 will cause your body to produce adequate levels of serotonin. There's other pieces to that as well. And that's your feel good, your relaxation piece. Don't have those things, you're in trouble. But guess what? There's something called folate that we have to look at, not folic acid. People who have folate deficiencies, by the way, folic acid is converted to folate in your liver, are more susceptible to infection. So if you don't have enough folate level, if your liver can't convert folic acid into folate, you're going to be at a higher risk for any infection, but particularly what we've seen over the last couple of years, it makes a huge impact. You know, a poor diet, you don't like vegetables. You don't like to eat them. Anything that's green or colorful is not about you. You know, it's going to drop your folate level. Alcoholism, you're drinking too much. And even if you're not drinking a lot, but you're drinking consistently, sometimes it's going to drop that down. The ability not to absorb from the gut. You got an irritable gut. You're sensitive to gluten. You're sensitive to dairy products. It inflames your intestinal tract. Could make a huge difference. You know, how many of you really know what vitamin C level is in your body? It enhances the killing of bugs, you know, and decreases tissue damage because of your body's overactive capacity to fight something that's going on in your system. So you need a lot more vitamin C, and not just taking, you know, 100 milligrams a day. Sometimes you're taking 1,000 milligrams 3 and 4 times a day. And the good news is that vitamin C is water soluble, so it's not going to be a problem and cause any real irritation other than maybe a loose bowel. If you're a smoker, if you're exposed to smoke, your vitamin C level is going to be very, very low. Or if your diet doesn't have the green leafies and the colorful things in it, your vitamin C level is going to be low. But vitamin C is needed for killing microbes. Basic thing, you know, got a cold, go take some, you know, vitamin C. Vitamin C, some C, or some D and some zinc as well. And it's also used for curbing excess inflammation. And if you have an inflammatory reaction because of something, guess what? You need a lot of vitamin C in there. So, and there's tons of other nutrients that you would look at, but that's basic. So, you know, the takeaway from all this is making sure that you ask your doctors, you know, to do a basic thing. Make sure that they're going to do the test that we talked about. We're coming up to a break, and we have to acknowledge people who bring you Dr. Thomas out live, and to wrap this up for you and tell you exactly what steps to take. Don't go away. I'll be right back after an important message.
News Talk 105.9
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday at 12 noon on the Eastern Seaboard, Mid-Atlantic area. And remember that all of our programs are available to you by podcast, and all you have to do is go to RozelleCare.com. And by the way, go to Rumble and other social media sites, and you'll find many of our interviews and so forth that are not on the program at those on those levels. But DrTomRozelle.com, scroll down, and you'll find a lot of the companies that we have affiliate relationships with that we support and that we recommend their products. So check it out. And if we could ever be of service to you, you can call one of the doctors at the Rozelle Center for Healing. Both websites are interrelated, by the way, and let them know that you want to have a conversation with somebody, and you know they'll talk to you. Or simply, if you want to email me, I do get back to you. And again, you can do that through drtomrozelle.com, and I'll answer whatever questions that you have. We're talking about your immune system today, but as a result of, you know, COVID and COVID vaccines and booster shots and so forth. And the whole idea is that when you tie up your immunological response by something that captures the director, the RNA, and tells it specifically what to do, it could only direct it towards one target. And if it's all tied up doing that, then your immunological response to other things is weakened. And we talked a little bit about the things that you can do to support yourself and, you know, simple things. Get your doctor to do that complete blood count. Get them to measure some of these other nutrient bases that we talked about, from vitamin C to D to zinc, magnesium and so forth. And understand that it supports you across the board. If you're overweight and you're suffering from any chronic disease, it's a good idea to test all of these things anyway, and particularly your vitamin C level. You know, your doctor, if they're in my world and functional medicine and natural integrative therapeutics, they're going to give you things that can help support that. But unfortunately, we don't eat well anymore. And over the last couple of years, we've eaten worse than what we should. There's a lot of other nutrients out there that we need to think about, like vitamin A and E and B2, B6, B12, selenium. And so many of us are deficient because, you know, it's all expedient. And I said, you know, kiddingly, COVID-19 that we've put on, but it's like COVID-19 or 30 or 40, in some cases, people even much more than that. You know, the depression that goes along with it. Vitamin B12 deficiency is one of those deficiencies that is practically non-existent in younger population most of the time. But in today's world, it's becoming much more evident because people are eating junk. They're eating carbohydrates. They're eating fast foods, and you can't get them anymore unless you're eating meats. That's the biggest problem with somebody who's a vegan or a vegetarian, is they don't get anywhere near the amount of B12 or folic acid that they should. But it becomes extremely more common as people get older. Why? Simply because of the fact that older people don't have the appetite. Even if they used to eat everything well, as they get older, they don't have the appetite to get the mineralization and everything they need at the higher levels of them. So, you know, take away from this, you know, you have to make sure that you know what your white blood cells are doing, and even your red blood cells, because that's a measure, is going to be an indirect measure of B12 and iron and so forth, your coronary C-reactive protein and straight C-reactive protein, your globulins. And by the way, those are two different things. You have high sensitivity, which is also called coronary C-reactive protein and C-reactive protein. You have globulins, which are proteins, vitamin D, levels you have to know about, your zinc, your iron levels, your magnesium, your folate, your vitamin C, minimum. There's other things that you need to measure as well, depending on your history. But these are check marks that should be done ongoing, and then utilizing supplementation in many cases. If I can't get you to eat, at least you're going to take the nutrients. But we're working together with a group of really, I consider, very smart people to try to find a post COVID and a post-vaccine program that will get people out of the anxiety levels, out of the heart palpitatory problems, the blood clotting problems, or the inability to clot and the bleeding that goes on and so forth, the immunological reactions that are dropping so low that they're coming up with everything. And I mean, it's an ongoing situation, but there are things like NAC, N-acetylcysteine, that binds the spike protein, this, and by the way, which the vaccine doesn't do much about, and can cause you to get sick. Any viral pattern has that type of situation. So we're putting it together for you. And just remember, I continue to do this and do the research and try to apply it to guide you through the woods, right? For one reason and one reason only. I love you all. See you next week. Bye.